Okay, so those of you that want to work, there's an opportunity there. Okay, so many hands make light work. And those of you that want to just eat hot dogs and hamburgers, you sign up on the other list, okay? Oh, yeah. Good to have each of you here. Just want to say a special welcome to Stan's sister. If you would just put your hand up, and that way we can see you. She's all the way from Toronto. And just remember Stan in your prayers. Just ongoing challenges with his condition. And so we're praying for Stan. It's good to have Shay and Charlene. And see Grandma's here this morning, too. It's good. Several grandmas, I mean, of course. And there's also a couple of new additions in this family, right? And so I only know, I don't know Charlene and Shay's newborn's name. You want to give that to me? Brooklyn. You know something? That did come to my mind. So, yeah, good. And then Chloe is here this morning. So welcome, Chloe. And it's good to have Eric and Evelyn here this morning. And I understand that there was an anniversary. Was there? Not quite. It's coming next week. And it is going to be 65 years married. Let's congratulate Bill and Rose. Wow. You know, the things that you find out when you go to different places. And anyway, I heard that somewhat through the grapevine. My wife pointed it out to me. I said, I think I need to make that announcement here this morning. Anyway, it's good to have you. We're going to pray here in a moment. Of course, sir, those of you who may not be aware, there's different health challenges here in our midst, and we're praying for each of you on a regular basis. And we love you, and we're glad you're here today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be here, to sing, to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the knowledge of sins forgiven and peace with you. Thank you for each family represented here this morning. For those, Lord, who couldn't be here, who are out having some rest and relaxation, be with them, bring them back safely. For those who are suffering with various ailments and maybe even some who are suffering with burdens we know nothing about, undertake for them today. Thank you that we've been able to hear Taylor share in song and have Brooklyn and also to have Chloe here. Thank you that Stan's sister could be here today and just welcome each one. Thank you that we can praise you in such a way. What a blessing it is to be part of your family. Thank you for Eric this morning and young man that he is and his desire to live for you and honor you and just pray that as he shares your word, we might understand what it means to have rest, to trust you with our lives, all the details. Bless him now as he shares your word with us, and may your spirit use these things to transform our hearts to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Eric, I hope I won't make you nervous, but Eric preaches quite often. No? Oh, sorry, that's the wrong line. Oh, yeah. Anyway, he's ready to go, so let's give him our attention. Yeah. Oh, no, you want the children here, don't you? That's a little distraction for you.
Because I'm childish or what? Oh.
Okay, Children's Church, Junior Church, go with Lena and Laura, ages 3 and 4. Have a good time, kids. Don't wear the leaders out.
Have fun.
Thank you. Okay, how's that mic? Good? Okay. Hello, everyone. It's good to see you all here today. Welcome to our guests, as Mike was mentioning. It's good to see you here and to have you here with us. Thank you also to the worship team and Shay and Taylor for sharing in song. That was great. Yeah, always good to worship the Lord together. So the title of today's message, as Mike alluded to, is Finding Rest in the Lord, But Let Us Not Be Found Sleeping. Before we begin, I did want to let you know that just because we're talking about rest doesn't give permission to any one of you to have a snooze. If I see it, I'm going to call you out. Kevin, Toby, I'm looking at you boys back there. course, I'm only joking. You can sleep if you want. I won't be offended. So, why talk about rest? My parents, sitting there, think he wants to talk about rest because he's always resting. Maybe if he talked about hard work, if he did hard work around the house, he could preach on that. But no, I think rest is something that we can probably all relate to. In our adult Bible fellowship here on Sunday mornings, we've been going through a book on emotions and just talking about how our emotions relate to God and our relationship with him. We have been discussing that all people have burdens and hardships that they face in their lives. We know life can be busy, both good, bad, it can be complicated, it can be challenging. And at the end of the day, I think there's times when we all feel drained or discouraged. When this happens, you might say to yourself, you know, I need a rest, I need a break from this. And I think most people can relate to that in some way, right? So, what does the Bible say about rest? Where should we go if we need to be renewed or refreshed, and not just when times are difficult? Where should we go in our day-to-day lives? And what should that rest look like? Is it just sleep and regaining our energy, or is there more to it? So, before we jump into that, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you again for this day. Thank you that we could worship you together in song, Lord, and recognize just how good you are. I pray that as we look into rest, that we'd be just see the rest that you provide, Lord, and how clear you make it in your word that you want us to have rest in you. Pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. So there are many passages that talk about rest in the scriptures. The first one that actually talks about this is right at the start, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Here it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he was doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done." So we see here that God himself rested when the act of creation was complete. The universe was set in place, and the world was as it should be. In chapter 1, verse 30 of Genesis, it says, "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And so it was done, and God rested." And reading this passage, it's interesting to think, what does rest look like for the Lord? He had just created the universe, but was he resting because he was tired? Of course not. Here, likely, rest was not to restore his strength, but instead, God was taking time to take pleasure in what he had made. God rested because he was content with the good creation. So, what we can take from this passage is that rest is something God has made, and God himself rested because he was content. Moving a little further in the Old Testament, we are going to see that God also wanted his chosen people, the nation of Israel, to rest. If you turn to Exodus chapter 31, we'll start at verse 12. Here, God is telling his people how they should live, and he's making a covenant with them through his servant Moses. Let's read. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you.'" And then we'll jump over to verse 16. "The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and rested." So as you can see, this was a covenant specifically between God and the nation of Israel. The Sabbath was to be a day of rest for them. But more importantly, we see in this passage that that day of rest was to be spent remembering the Lord. They were to observe the Sabbath to remember God, to remember his holiness, and to remember his covenant with them. It was to be a day of rest, but centered on the Lord. Now, as a church today, we don't need to observe the Sabbath in the same way that the nation of Israel did, in the same way that we are not under the law, because that was specifically for them at that time. But the principle of centering our rest around God and our relationship with Him is a common theme that we'll also see in the New Testament. Again, the main focus here is that rest isn't just about restoring physical strength, but it should be much deeper, and we'll take a look at that. So we're going to move to the New Testament, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time and seeing what's written there about rest. There are a few ways we see rest discussed in the New Testament, and the first one is pretty simple: sleep or physical rest. And that's a no-brainer, right? Everyone needs to sleep. Everyone needs to restore their physical bodies. Jesus and his disciples were doing important work, and they needed time away from that and rest sometimes. Mark 6:31, Jesus says to his disciples, "Come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest." You know, they were teaching, they were busy, and the work they were doing was very important, but sometimes they needed to rest and be restored as well. And this passage was an example of temporary rest to restore energy in the day-to-day. And sometimes we need a break, too, from our work to rest. However, we're not going to spend much time talking about this because I think it's pretty self-explanatory, right? Everyone here knows that we need sleep and rest. When we're working and we're tired, it's a physical need that we have. Instead, what we're going to focus more on today is that what we also find in the scriptures are passages that talk about rest in terms of our relationship with the Lord, that we can rest in and find renewal through Him. This might be less obvious to us and might take a little more focus, but it is just as important as the physical rest that we just barely mentioned. So the first passage we're going to look at is Matthew 11, verses 28 to 29, if you want to turn there. It's the passage we had read for us in scripture reading. Here Jesus is speaking to the crowds, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Reading this passage, it should make us pause. I wonder what the people there who were listening to Jesus as he said this, what they thought, if it really struck them as something different. Jesus here is making it clear that his gospel is freeing. He's calling all those who are weary, who are burdened, to come to him. It's an invitation, and I find this invitation to rest quite encouraging. Those of us, those of them, who are weary, who are tired, who are burdened or broken can come and hear a message from the gentle and humble teacher. You can find rest for your souls, he says. Beautiful words, but they should also make us ask, is my soul at rest? Am I daily taking this invitation to relationship and getting to know God more deeply? Are we getting to know our Savior and finding rest in our relationship with Him? In this passage, Jesus is also really contrasting Himself with the teachers of the law at the time, who were putting burdens on people. The teachers of the law were using the law and their authority in ways that were not helping people, but were putting burdens on them as they tried to serve God. And so here, Jesus is making a contrast. He's saying, that's not me. I know what you're being put through. I know the burdens these teachers of the law have been putting on you, but that's not who I am. Come to me, and what I give you, it's not burdensome, but I'm going to give you rest. It's a really beautiful passage. So we see here that Jesus is saying to the people that they can find rest in his message, in his gospel, and they can be set free from the burdens that were put on them. I'm going to ask you to turn to James chapter 1, verse 21, And James also mentions something similar about being set free in the message. We'll start verse 21, and it says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do not merely listen to the word, but anyone who does not listen to the word but does not do what it says is someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." James says here that applying God's word and the teachings found in it give freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the same teachers of the law? No, he's talking about something a little different. Here James is talking about freedom of being enslaved to sin and the consequences we might face of sinful living. But this doesn't happen magically. We need to apply the perfect law, as he says. And it says, don't deceive yourselves, but allow God's word to change us and be more like the people God wants us to be every day. As Mike was mentioning earlier in Hebrews, it says, the word of God is living and active, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So we see that God's word gives freedom and rest. It is not heavy and helps us to not be controlled by sin in our lives. It sets us free. In John 8, Jesus says something similar as well. In 8:31, if you want to turn there, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed." Again, a very similar message to James. As believers, we can and should have rest that is freeing, but it must be in relationship with God and living according to his word. Another aspect of rest that we're going to talk about is peace that we can experience through Christ. You can turn to John chapter 16. From verse 17 to the end of the chapter, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Jesus knows he will be crucified, and he's trying to let them know about what's going to happen in the coming days and give them some reassurance. Let's start reading at verse 20. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain until her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of the joy that a child is born into the world. So it is with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will be able to take away your joy." And then we'll jump over to verse 33, and this is the verse we're going to focus on the most. "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Here Jesus has been telling his disciples about what will happen in the coming days, and he's reassuring them that everything will be all right. He's not shielding them from the fact that they will face troubles. In fact, he's making it very clear. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will experience trouble in the world. But he then follows it up by making it very clear that they can overcome the trouble because he has overcome the world. And he did that in the most miraculous way. This was something that Jesus was saying to his disciples to give them comfort at that particular time. But we too can find rest and have peace in Christ. We can have peace in his words. And we can experience that rest and peace even when we experience trouble. If you turn to Philippians, in chapter 4, Paul shares a very similar idea with them, with the believers saying that they too may have peace. In verse 4, Paul starts by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." What an encouraging passage this is. Here, Paul, much like Jesus in the passage in John, recognizes that life is tough sometimes. He recognizes that there are things that one might be anxious about. And they don't hide the fact. They don't pretend like life will be easy, like it will be perfect. There will always be opposition to the truth of the gospel. And like Jesus was saying, the disciples would face trouble because of it, especially if they're trying to serve the Lord. And these passages make that very clear. But these passages also give us clear reassurance. Despite the hardships we may face, we can rejoice, as Paul says, and we can rest in God's love for us. The Lord is near. And as Paul says, we can take our concerns to him through prayers and petition to find peace. Kevin brought that up today in the morning in the devotional. He said, pray continually. Sometimes, it feels like it might not be answered, but are you asking? You can have peace in that prayer and in that relationship. Christ has overcome the world, and he is with us when we walk in relationship with him. As Paul says, we can have peace that transcends all understanding, to guard our hearts and our minds. We could all use some of this peace once in a while, right? I know for sure sometimes I could. It's one thing to take time to rest, but when reading these passages, it makes you think, if you're taking time to rest, but you're not at peace, what is that rest going to give you? Are you going to be rested? If you don't have freedom, if you're constantly enslaved to your desires, your sin, or burdens you have, how can you rest? These passages have made me reflect and realize how easy it is to get things backwards. Oftentimes when I'm tired or discouraged, I think it's easier to say, I need a break. I'm going to kick my feet up. I'm going to rest. I'm going to sleep. Although physical relaxing is important, but do I take enough time to look to the one who hears my prayers and will allow me to have transcending peace if I walk in a deep relationship with him? Do I have freedom by looking at his word and meditating on it daily and have rest? This is something I would encourage you to think about as well. Where are you finding your rest to be refreshed in the day-to-day? Are you experiencing true peace, or is that something you may need to work on as well? I know it's certainly an area that I want to continue to grow in and work on. Now, we have discussed rest in the Lord, rest that is freeing, rest that gives peace. We've also discussed that this rest requires fellowship and relationship with God. We discussed that you could obtain this relationship through prayer, through relying on God's word, and through doing that diligently. And this message should excite us because we know that we can be at rest and experience true peace and freedom in this relationship. However, rest does not mean we should become complacent. I'm going to repeat that. Rest does not equal complacency. If you want to turn to Mark chapter 13, we're going to read verses 32 through 37. In this chapter, Jesus is going to be telling the people he's with, including the disciples, about the end of the age, what will happen before he returns. And he then is going to warn them, but also give direction to them. So Mark 13, verse 32. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on your guard. Be alert. Do you not know, or you do not know when that time will come? It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This passage, this parable that Jesus is saying, is a warning, but I think it's also an important message that should be used to remind and to encourage one another. Jesus is telling the people and his disciples to be alert, not to forget about the fact that he's coming again. Let us not be sleeping. What does that mean? And what task could he possibly have left for us to do? Well, we always say, love the Lord and love others. Likewise, we should be making disciples of all nations. That is certainly a task that has been left for all of us. Thinking of this, it made me realize, you know, many people do not know or have not heard about the great peace, the great rest, and the freedom that can be found in the Lord and through his Son. Some may have heard, but they don't understand. People need to know where they too can find true rest, peace, and freedom. Don't you think that the world certainly needs it? And as the body of Christ, I think it's our job to provide an example of that rest. In Romans 13, if you want to turn there, Paul says a very similar idea of what is said in this parable. We'll start partway through verse 11. Paul says here to the Romans, "The hour has come for you to wake from your slumber, because salvation is nearer now than when you first believe. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies," which I learned were ceremonies that the Romans were having to their gods, "not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ." Maybe in other words, you could say, rest in the Lord. "And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Again, the message is very similar. We should not be asleep. We should not be living for ourselves and sleeping, but rather our rest is one that is to go hand in hand with devotion and obedience. So I just wanted to kind of summarize everything. I know that for myself, when I hear a lot of things, it's easy to just let them fly right past me, so this might be more for me than it is for you. But just wanted to go over kind of the main points we talked about. So rest is important. Our physical bodies need rest, but we need spiritual rest as well. Rest is found in God, in deep relationship with him through his Son. Jesus invites all those with burdens to find rest for their souls. It doesn't matter on the burden. It doesn't matter. You can come. The invitation is for everyone. We can find rest in God's words and in Jesus' teachings. They are not burdensome, but give freedom. If we allow God's word to change us, we don't have to be enslaved to sin, to our own desires, or be burdened by what others may tell us. The rest God provides gives us peace, but requires a fellowship with him. Jesus has overcome the world. We serve a God who is near, and he hears our prayers, so we should rejoice and have peace that guards our hearts and minds. And finally, let us rest in the Lord, but let us not be sleeping. Our rest should not be complacent. May we be found as in the parable. May we be found as faithful servants who did not forget the task that was left and the fact that the owner would once return. I hope that this has encouraged you and maybe challenged you. I know these passages have challenged me. Looks like everyone here is still awake for the most part, some heavy eyelids maybe. Or maybe you're just waking up now and I missed it, but that's okay. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the rest you provide through your word and through your son, that we may have peace and freedom in you, Lord. I pray that we wouldn't neglect the invitation, Lord, but would take time in the day-to-day to take our concerns to you and to rest in your word and your love for us, Lord. I pray just as we go now to our homes as well, that our conversations and our lives may be devoted to you, Lord. I pray that you'd just bless us as we go about our way. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.